Hare Krishna. So I'd like to once again welcome all the devotees and guests for this Bhagavad Katha, and it is extremely encouraging to see so many devotees come in the evening after a working day to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Extremely inspiring and uplifting to see so many devotees here actually. You know how much is the distance between London and Cardiff? Huh? 200 miles? And you know how much is the difference between Cardiff and London? Okay, 200 miles, yeah? Okay. If you go up from here to the first floor there on the manor, you know how many steps up there? 12? Okay, someone so precisely counted. Thank you. 12. And how many steps when you come down? 12. God, London to Cardiff, 200 miles. Cardiff to London, 200 miles. You go up 12 steps. You come down 12 steps. You know how many days between Monday and Friday?
Five.
You know how many days between Friday and Monday? It's meant to be five, right? Monday to Friday, five. And Friday to Monday, three. God, the weekend gets over so quickly, isn't it? Hare Krishna, but it's incredibly amazing that we are all here at the weekend to discuss about Sri Krishna and the wonderful pastimes and glories of the Supreme Lord in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I would like to once again seek blessings from Aginidev Prabhu. I feel humbled but encouraged by His presence. So thank you, Prabhu, for your presence. But I seek your blessings before I share a few words. Yesterday, Brajbihari Prabhu very beautifully spoke about the theme Atithi Devo Bhava, referring to many episodes and stories and pastimes from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna welcoming Sudama, you know, and talking about Parikshit Maharaj and Sringi, Shukadev Goswami, and elaborately describing the life, the pastimes and the teachings of Sripad Ramanujacharya, whose 1000th birth anniversary we are celebrating this year. And it's amazing to just listen from the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. Srimad Bhagavatam is such an amazing book. Srila Prabhupada, one of his friends, when he was writing the Srimad Bhagavatam in Vrindavan, writing the commentaries, one of his friends gave him a pen. And pens are pens. But he gave him a special pen, Parker. How many of you heard Parker pens? You know, some of you use them, Parker pens. And Srila Prabhupada used the Parker pen to write the commentaries, some of the notes. And then he said that this pen is Parker, but when I write the commentaries using this pen, the Srimad Bhagavatam will parkar. You know, it will help us cross over the ocean of birth and death, because parkarna, parkar means to go beyond. So he used a parkar pen to help us give this book, which can help us do parkar, go beyond the ocean of repeated birth and death. All we need to do is, as Srila Prabhupada used this word, quite an amazing word, submissive oral reception. Submissively using our ears, oral reception to the messages of Vasudev, to the messages of Sri Hari, to the messages of Sri Krishna. And when we give submissive oral reception to these incredible subject matters and topics, like we heard the other day, it'll do to us three things. Shuddhikaran or purification, Buddhikaran, sharpening our intellect, and Vriddhikaran or increasing our attraction for Krishna. The Vedas tell us when we hear books like these, we should follow three principles. The first one, Shravanam. Hear attentively by being present, not being absent-minded. How many of you have found yourself in a class looking at the speaker and the mind is on top of Shraad? Looking down at London Eye? And if you found yourself getting lost in the class? My God, all of you are from another age, completely focused sages, you know. Sages who can completely focus and your minds don't get distracted, looks like. Shravanam means to be attentive, to be present. Isn't it amazing we are in front of the deities and thinking, my office work, God, when will I get it done? Sitting in the class here and all the students who have exams are thinking, revisions are pending. In fact, some students revise when I'm giving talk. internally. I used to have in one university program, one student would come for my talk and he would be sitting right there at the back writing notes after notes after notes. And weeks after, I thought, my God, what a sincere guy this is. So then after the talk, so such guys, we should go and speak, you know, because they're writing so much notes. I said, amazing, you're so sincere. He said, that's okay. I said, I mean, you're hearing the talk so attentively. He said, that's fine. I said, you're writing so many notes, man. This is fantastic. He said, yeah. I said, what do you like so much? What do you jot down? He said, what are you talking about? I don't hear any talks or anything. He said, your vocabulary is good. And I'm writing this exam called TOEFL. So whatever words I get from here, I note down so I don't have to prepare later again. This is what he's doing in writing words from my talks, you know, to prepare for his TOEFL exams. So being present is what gives the maximum and the optimum benefit. In hearing Krishna Katha, in taking darshan of the deities, in chanting the names of God, in reading the Gita and the Bhagavatam, to be present. Unfortunately, in today's age, we're just not present. Shravanam means to be present and attentively hear the subject matter so that we can understand what is being spoken carefully. Otherwise, we sit there and nothing's understood. One gentleman was doing a Ram Katha, speaking about Lord Ram. And after 7 days of the Ram Katha, one guy who was listening comes and says, well, Swamiji, I have a question. He said, what's your question? He said, in this book called Ramayana, who's the villain, Ram or Ravan? After 7 days of hearing the Katha, he's asking, who's the villain, Ram or Ravan? The speaker said, look, man, neither is Ram the villain, nor is Ravan the villain. I am the villain that in 7 days I could not tell you who is the villain. You know, in 7 days I couldn't explain to you who the villain is from the Ram Katha. And therefore, attentive hearing or Shravanam gives us understanding. But the Vedas say beyond Shravanam is a second level, which is Mananam. We listen, we hear, and we'll go back. But Mananam means contemplating, reflecting again on what we hear. Otherwise, we hear here say, Bahu saras hatune? Katha ekdam ach saras hati. So mota bhai kharas hati ni katha. You go ekdam bhajan, why nice that talk? And then you go back. And it's gone. So therefore, after attentive hearing or Shravanam is the second stage, which is Mananam. Reflecting, dwelling over those messages like a cow. The cow has the special ability of what is called as rumination. The cow will eat grasses and all kinds of things and will eat in a gulp because there's so much going on. Even in a talk, how much can you handle in this one and a half hour? And then the cow will go to a peaceful place and bring it all back and once again chew it properly, mix it with all the digestive juices and take it back again. So when we hear, it's like the cow eating grasses in a hurry. 1 hour, what is Prabhuji speaking? My God, I have to filter it all on a tick. Then when you go back home, sit down like a cow and start. It's bringing all what we have heard back again. Reflecting, contemplating on what we have heard is called Mananam. Cow is amazing, you know. How many of you touched cow dung? It's incredible, I'm telling you. How many of you had cow urine drunk? Oh, it is amazing. It gives you a kick. Especially if it's warm and fresh, just hold the cup when it's passing. Just take the cup in the urine and just drink it. It gives you a zing kick in your nose, you know. And then all the uploaded files where the download was aborted, one go files downloaded. You know what I mean, right? You know, so it's a very powerful. The download speed is 250 gigabytes per second. So, Mananam is like the rumination of a cow, bringing back those thoughts and dwelling on them. But the third aspect, the Vedas say after Shravanam, hearing attentively, Mananam, contemplating and reflecting in a peaceful moment by ourselves. The third one is Nididhyasanam, which is the application of what we hear. There's a lot of philosophy, knowledge, but the application is where we kind of fail. Therefore, they say cosmetics and knowledge only changes when we are applied. Cosmetics can only change your look when they are applied, right? What if all the cosmetics are in the box? They don't change your look. And knowledge can change us only when it's applied. What if knowledge is only in the head and it's not applied? It's like cosmetics in a box. One lady came back from a beauty parlor and was telling her husband, "Hey, how? I just came back from a beauty parlor. How am I looking?" The husband said, "Was it closed actually?" My God, can you imagine? Hare Krishna. I'll tell you something. Cosmetics do well only when they are applied, and so does knowledge. I acted in a drama 2.5 years back. In our Chowpatty community, we have these dramas, and the drama was called Warrior Monks. I'm a monk anyways. Warrior Monks was the name of the drama. And the guy who was acting with us in the drama is getting into Tollywood and Bollywood. He's getting into Telugu movies now. He's already 2 movies come up, and he's slowly coming up into Hindi movies very soon. So since he's into Bollywood, he brought a Bollywood makeup artist for us. Imagine a monk like me sitting there, a Bollywood artist making, doing all this makeup for me. God, I must tell you, after this entire makeup, I couldn't recognize myself in the mirror. I said, "Hey, who's this man?" I was playing the role of a sage, this super professional, beards and wigs. I have pictures, but I won't show you. You know, this completely masqueraded my looks, and I was a different person. And when I came on stage, no one recognized. No one. Until I spoke. Then say, "Arey, aa to apna Prabhuji se apna." As soon as they hear the voice, they know, right? But till they look, they couldn't even figure out. You know, these makeups and cosmetics change our look completely. And knowledge when applied, cosmetics when applied, changes our look. And knowledge when applied changes our life. Therefore, there is a great need for Shravanam, hearing attentively, Mananam, reflecting and contemplating, and Nididhyasanam, which is practical application. You know what is the problem in practical application though? Okay, fill in the blanks. Zindagi ka safar. हरी बोल हरी बोल हरी बोल है ना. अभी अगला बोलूं क्या? गीत गाता हूं मैं. हरी बोल. मेरे सामने वाली खिड़की एक चांद. हम तो चांद जैसे ही दुखते हैं, आपके सामने बैठे एक चांद का टुक. यू नो विद दिस बॉलीवुड सॉन्ग्स वी हियर देम. And after years, you still remember them without forgetting. All the songs and music, you just don't forget that easily. I'm sorry. I was in a college program and a uni program. I'm sitting in a program. And there's about 20 guys in front of me. It's a dormitory, so guys are walking in and out. And I'm singing, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Biha. And there's one guy going out there. And he was singing a popular Bollywood song called Gazab Ka Hai Din Dekho Zara. And as he's singing this, I'm singing Jai Radha Madhava. And imagine the second line. Ye Deewana Par. Oh, thank God I didn't sing that. I said, Gopi. I must tell you, we just can't forget these. Can we? Those songs just don't go away. Can you forget the hurt that someone's done unto you? Someone's emotionally hurt you and let you down. God, we just lug it around, don't we? Shh. Just so hard to forget. But when it comes to this knowledge, we listen, we go out, and it's gone. And the time we need it the most is the time it just doesn't come. We hear in so many talks, we shouldn't be angry, we should be peaceful. And suddenly when it comes, it comes. And then it's like, oh God, you know. And therefore, Baldev Vidyabhushan adds the fourth aspect to this, which is called Vandanam, prayer. As we listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, as we listen to Bhagavat Katha, we should pray to Shri Krishna. Krishna, I have done Shravanam, I have done Mananam, but Nididhyasanam application, when I need it the most, Krishna, I forget it. Please Radha Gokulananda, please Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, I'm taking this time out to come and sit and listen. And I'm even trying to, want to change, but just can't get it. Please help me. You're sitting in the heart as the Paramatma, as the Super Soul. Please bring it to me when I need the most. And this is why in Bhagavad Katha we should remember these four principles: Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam and Vandanam. The power of prayer in recalling to our memory in our life what we have heard. But in any case, the other day we heard about Ambarish Maharaj, and I hope you can recollect what we heard. We heard the character of Ambarish Maharaj, if you remember, and we heard the six qualities of Ambarish Maharaj's character. If you want to recall to memory by offering a Vandanam prayer to Radha Gokulananda, please bring it back to our memory. The first quality of Ambarish was divine vision. He had a vision of not exploitation and enjoyment but service. Second quality was his attachment to Krishna. His third quality was humility, consulting from the Brahmanas. Fourth quality was leadership. He wasn't just satisfied being Krishna conscious. He wanted everyone in his kingdom to be Krishna conscious. His fifth quality was protection. Krishna had given him the Sudarshan Chakra for his protection. And last one was detachment. He was unaffected by all the opulence around him. We heard about the character today. We'll hear about the culture of Ambarish Maharaj from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ambarish Maharaj, for one full year, observed, you know, he observed the Vrata of Ekadashi. And it's not like the Ekadashi that we do, Gujarati Ekadashi. Tamne khabar chhe ne Gujarati Ekadashi suche. Gujarati Ekadashi etle pharali, pharali. You know, pharali etle batekano chaudo, ane su, ane samani khichdi, ane sabudana na vada, ane tamne khabar chhe ne suke chhe mogo mogo. Topiako chips. Oh God, Gujaratis love to eat. Am I wrong or right? They just love to eat, don't they? God, and doing this Ekadashi Vrat and fasting and all that, my God. They love fast food, not fast from food. Fast from food is too much, but fast food, they love to eat fast food. You know, Gujaratis, they say, ek divse na, ek divse su, dahi puri. Bija divse tamne khabar che chu, masala puri. Ani tija divse, pani puri. Ani chothe divse, bhel puri. Ani pancham divse, chaat puri. Ani chhate divse shrikhand puri. Satma divse rash puri. Ani atma divse salary puri. I'm sorry about that, you know. But on these vratas, so much fasting and vratas, God. Ambarish Maharaj was observing his fast nirjal, without even water. For one full year, he observed this vrata. And after this vrata, in the month of Kartik, he decided to conclude his vrata. And to conclude his vrata, he came to Vrindavan in a forest called Madhuvan. And three nights, along with his wife, all three of them fasted. Both of them fasted. And on the third day, Ambarish decided that along with his wife, now he should conclude his vrata, the 1 year vrata. How did he conclude this vrat? He concluded this vrat by offering worship to his deity of Krishna, offered abhishek to the deity of Krishna, dressed Krishna with beautiful garments, offered incredible ornaments and jewelry to the deity of the Lord, fresh flower garlands and incredible foodstuffs as an offering of bhoga unto his deity. Because the vrata was not just fasting. Fasting is upvas. Vrata is more than fasting. Fasting is only one element of a vrat. For us, vrat, fast is all the same thing. Fasting is only one element of the vrat. There's much more to a vrat than fasting and uposhanam or upvas. You know? So he did this, abhishek. And many times, you know, people think, why are you wasting so much milk and yogurt and all of this on the deity? How many of you saw the movie PK? How many of you saw the movie Oh My God, OMG? And how many of you are confused, why the hell are we wasting such precious things? Rather, we should give it to some poor people on the street. What are you doing here? Wasting all these precious ingredients, milk and yogurt and ghee and honey. And God, who bathes in these stuffs anyways? How many of you bathe in milk?
Prabhuji, he said, we'll have to sell our homes, Prabhuji. We'll start being... Cleopatra used to bathe in milk every day. Cleopatra was bathing in milk every day. You know? So some people say, why waste so money of all this stuff on, you know, bathing of stone idol, and what do you get out of it anyways? Better give in charity, you know, give it away to some poor people. In India, people will all the time keep saying this. Isn't it? All the time people will keep saying this. How many of you have parents? Of course, all of you. I'm sorry. You're not come down from the sky like an avatar or anything. I'm not sure. You know. And how many of you, when you realize that your parents get old, you would like to take care of them? Of course, isn't it? Now, if someone comes and tells you, why are you wasting so much money on your parents? Giving them milk, yogurt, this, that. Why don't you just give this money away in charity to the poor? Is it okay to say that? Is it okay to say that? When your parents have given you so much, isn't it your duty to give your parents back? Can any damned person on the street question you on that? And if someone questions you on that, would you be answerable and accountable to that gentleman? Saying, why are you wasting your money on parents? Don't waste your money on parents. Give it all away to the poor and the needy. I'll tell them, sir, they are two different things. I'm not saying we shouldn't give to the poor and the needy. But just because we should be giving to the poor and the needy, should we neglect our duty towards our parents? How many of you agree to this? That it's okay to neglect your duty towards parents? No, right? And there are your parents, Radha and Krishna, standing, who has given us everything. So how can we neglect our duty towards them? You know, definitely we should help others. But not at the cost of our duty towards our parents. They're two different things. One is helping others and one is fulfilling our duty, right? So we have our duty towards God and we have our charitable side to others as well. And it's fair to do that. In the world today, however, children can be so selfish. One little five-year-old came and told his mom, Mama, I love you. The mother said, I love you too, beta. Then the guy turned 16 and the guy came and said to mother, Mama, I love you. The mother said, how much money you need, tell me. When he turned 28, he came and said, Mama, I love you. Kaun hai, kidhar rehti hai, bata de, shaadi kar denge. Tell me, who is she? We'll get you married to her. When he turned 40, Mama, I love you. The mother said, I told you don't marry her, right? Then he turned 60 and he went to the mother and said, Mama, I love you. The mother said, I'm not going to sign any damned papers, okay? All these property papers, you get lost out of here, you know. I'll tell you, we have our duty towards our parents and we have our duty towards the world. We have our duty towards God and we have our duty towards people of this world. And don't mix the two, no? Maharaj Ambarish did Abhishek, offered incredible bhoga to the Lord, offered jewelry and all kinds of worship to the Lord, even when he was young. He had the culture of, number one, devotional worship to the Lord. Amrish's time, he had a culture of devotional worship towards God. It's so fashionable today to say, I don't believe in a God. Really? You'd say that in India, you know. No one in India can be an atheist. These Indian guys come and say, I don't believe in a God. So you give them a picture of Ganesh. And say, okay, spit on it. Say, no. I say, you don't believe in a Rakhman man, spit. I said, what's the problem, spit man? He said, no, just in case he exists, I don't want to take a chance. It's become so fashionable to say, I don't believe, you know. And most people will say, I'm not religious. Actually, I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. How many of you heard that, be honest? I'm not religious. I'm very spiritual. Can you tell the difference? Oh, that's for you to explain, sir. Can you imagine it's become so popular and fashionable to postpone our spiritual life and our devotional worship of God? Ambarish did not do that. They say after your first 3 years of marriage, the bedroom smells with perfumes, flowers, chocolates. After about 8 years of marriage, the bedroom smells of Johnson & Johnson baby powders. After 20 years of marriage, the bedroom smells of Vicks, Iodex, Rally spray, you know. And then after about 50 years of marriage, it smells of agarbatti and incense stick. So we should take it up now. Why after 50 years? Ambarish did not postpone his devotional worship of God. On time. On time. You know why? Because life is like a warship. Too many wars and battles we have to fight. Life is like a warship. And worship helps us to face those wars with integrity and dignity. Ambarish Maharaj had the culture of devotional worship. Right here at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, Srila Prabhupada, sitting right from this Vyasasan, said, so you know what is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement? He said two words. The purpose of the entire Hare Krishna movement, he said, is two words. Hari Toshanam. To please Shri Krishna. Parikshit Mahami, Ambarish Maharaj was not worshipping Krishna to get things. Ambarish Maharaj was worshipping Krishna to please Him. Serve Him, give Him, and please Him. Otherwise we go to the temple and God, we have a long list to ask, isn't it? Goodness, long list to ask. One Gujarati fellow, he was praying to God and he said, my dear Lord, please, please bless me. God came and said, come on, ask quickly, one wish only, yeah, quick. And he said, what should I ask? My mother's blind. I don't have a house. I don't have a child. I don't have a car. And I have only one choice and wish to ask. What do I ask? He said to God, my dear Lord, please bless that my blind mother can see my wife hold a baby boy sitting inside a limousine which is parked outside our Beverly Hills home. And God said, God, I have a lot to learn from this Gujjuvais, you know. Our worship is not meant to just ask. Our worship is meant to give. Our worship is not just meant to take. Our worship is meant to serve. Our worship is not meant just to please our senses. Our worship is meant to please Krishna's senses. But the first part of Ambarish's culture was his devotional worship in the temple. But that was not it. Ambarish Maharaj was very conscientious. He never lied. How many of you have lied? Be honest. No saying no in the temple. Any of you lied here? Hare Krishna. How many of you lied to your wife? Those whose wives are sitting there are looking. Hey! How many of you lied to your husbands? God, this is such a pious crowd, my God. No one lies here. It's amazing, isn't it? How many of your kids have lied to your parents? Hare Krishna. They say one speaks 1,452 lies a year. Don't ask me where the figure came from. 1,452 lies a year, and the most commonly spoken lies when someone asks, how are you? You say, fine. What a commonly spoken lie, they say, you know. God, what if Krishna was with us 24 hours a day? What if Krishna was with us when you go back to her home and your wife asks you, where were you? And she can't see Krishna, only you can. What will you say? Sorry, madam, but I was in the temple chanting my pending rounds. You know, there was a lie detecting robo. They made a lie detecting robo. And one teenage guy came back home late in the night and the father asked, what were you? Where were you? Saying, I was studying with my friends. I said, don't lie. Yeah? We have a lie detecting robot, speak in front of him. So he took him in front of the lie detecting robot. Said, where were you? He said, I was studying with my friends. Pat! Slapped him, you know, the lie detecting robot. The guy felt it works. So then said, tell me now, where were you? Sorry, I was with my friend watching a movie. Robot didn't do anything. Which movie were you watching? The guy said, Ghar Ek Mandir. Pad! He slapped him, you know.
Sorry, Dad. I was actually watching some blue films and X-rated films. Sorry, Dad. Very sorry. Then the father said, when I was your age, I didn't even know the word blue-rated film. Pad! The robot slapped the father, you know. And guess what? Then the mother came out and said, after all, whose son is he? Yours, right? Pad! He's the robot. The robot slapped. Oh, my God. Hare Krishna. We so conveniently lie. We so conveniently cheat. We're so convenient in doing whatever malpractices we do because we don't see the presence of Krishna with us everywhere. For us, Krishna is only in the temple. And we say, Krishna, you remain in the temple. I'll come here. In temple, I will not lie, Krishna. When you are here, I'm okay. But when I go out, you're not with me, right, Krishna? Please don't follow me, Krishna. Too much Krishna consciousness is not good. Little bit is okay. Sunday to Sunday, proxy attendance, Janmashtami to Janmashtami. Just some go. Little bit is good. Too much? God, your hairstyle changes. Relax. Too much is too much. Too much Krishna consciousness, Krishna. Imagine if we were just conscious that Krishna is everywhere where we go. How would we act? Therefore, Ambarish wasn't just having the culture of devotional worship in the temple. Ambarish had the culture of responsible action in his life because he knew Krishna is with him everywhere, watching him everywhere. He was responsible in his actions. It's easy to come and worship in the temple and go out and do anything. Temple worship must be accompanied with the culture of responsible action where one knows that, yeah, Krishna is with me everywhere. In the name of worshipping temple, in the temple, we forget being responsible outside. In being responsible outside, we forget to come to the temple and worship. What a beautiful thing it is to be Krishna conscious all the time. Let's not make Krishna just a deity in the temple. Krishna is going to be with us all the time. And especially all of you, you don't live in the temple, do you? All of your householders, family people, how many of you get to come to the temple regularly? Just because I can't come to the temple regularly, that means I'm not Krishna, can't be Krishna conscious. Krishna is with us all the time. And the more we dwell on this, we become extremely responsible and accountable in our activities and in our actions. You know? Krishna is everywhere. Someone asked Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, why so many temples? Why do we, if Krishna is everywhere, why do we need to go to the temple? Srila Prabhupada said, if Krishna is everywhere, he's in the temple also, no? So come here also. What's your problem? And then one guy in India said, Swamiji, there are so many temples all over the country and the world. Why are you making another one? And Srila Prabhupada said, there are so many children in the world. Why do you have your own child? Because it's your personal relationship with him. And then Prabhupada said, because it's our personal relationship and offering to Krishna. You know, thank God he didn't say, there's so many ladies in the world, why do you have your own wife? You know, my God, can you imagine? There's so many temples in the world. Why your own? Because that's our personal offering unto Krishna. So yes, Ambarish had the culture of devotional worship. But along with that, Ambarish had the culture of responsible action in whatever he did in the world. That wasn't all. After he offered the bhoga to his deity, in the conclusion of the vrat, Ambarish Maharaj took that prasadam and fed all the brahmanas, gave it to all of the people around him, and he gave charity. To conclude the vrat, Ambarish Maharaj gave in charity. You know how many, what charity he gave? Ambarish Maharaj gave 600 million. Are you ready? 600 million beautiful, young, well-dressed cows with their milk bags full. Each of the cow's horns were gold-plated. And each of the cow's hoof had a silver plate underneath it. And he gave away 600 million such cows in charity. He wasn't just worshipping God. He wasn't just responsible in his action. He felt for the pain of people around him. Those who needed,
Ambarish Maharaj was compassionate to give them in charity. Ladies and gentlemen, they say when God blesses you financially, don't just increase the standard of your living. Increase the standard of your giving. Because the standard of living moving from a Lexus to a Lamborghini can be exciting. But the standard of giving as we give, share, the joy and the satisfaction that comes from giving is incredible. Haveli is just £4 a day. Shruti Dharma Prabhu didn't tell me to announce this. I'm just saying this. That is the Grihastha's responsibility. Ambarish Maharaj as a Grihastha worshipped Krishna in the temple, was very conscientious at his work, responsible in his action, but compassionate and giving in charity for those projects which would help everyone else. And God, we just so much take, isn't it? My goodness. There was one Marwadi fellow. You know Marwadis in India? They have a certain reputation. So an Arab sheikh, an Arab from the Middle East came to Mumbai to get himself operated and they needed blood for him. So they made an announcement in the hospital. There was a Marwadi fellow and his blood group matched with this Arab sheikh's blood group. So he donated this blood. And after the Arab sheikh was, you know, okay now, he was so, so grateful to this Marwadi fellow, he gave him a Mercedes Benz as a return gift. And this Marwadi fellow said, my God, one bottle of blood and a Mercedes Benz, incredible, you know. The next time again the Arab sheikh came to India, it was again a surgery. And he knew if I needed blood, I have to contact this guy. So they needed a bottle of blood. And he contacted the Marwadi fellow and gave a bottle of blood. But this time, when he was now okay, the Arab sheikh gave the Marwadi fellow one box of batil dates. So the Marwadi fellow said, sir, last time you gave a Mercedes Benz. This time just one box of dates. The guy said, what can you do, you know? Now your blood is in my body entirely flowing. So I guess this is how much I can give back. But I'll tell you, no matter how much you criticize this Marwadi fellows, they are the ones who give so much charity in India. Marwadis, Gujaratis is the community who are, their people make so much fun of them and they love to be made fun of. They'll laugh at themselves and they'll still continue to give, share and serve. Amazing, isn't it? One Gujarati man's grandfather died. So he wanted to put, you know, this obituary in the newspaper. So he called up, said, okay, how much for an obituary? Said, 10 quid per word. So he said, okay, then put Dada dead. 220 quid. So the guy from the other side said, sir, minimum 5 words, you can't have 2. So you can't have Dada dead. He said, okay, no problem, I'll give you 50 quid. Just put Dada dead, wheelchair for sale. Obituary and business simultaneously. Oh, Krishna. Hare Krishna. No matter how much we say that, but the culture of these communities across India and across the globe is of giving, is of sharing. You know, giving has an incredible satisfaction. It is an equation that cannot be mathematically resolved, but it can be practically lived by. You can mathematically resolve a lot of equations and get answers. Here's an equation that when you give, you get satisfied. You can't mathematically resolve. You give, how can you be happy? You're parting with your things. His Holiness Devamrit Maharaj was once mentioning, all the IIT brains and all the Ivy League colleges come together and try to crack this equation. That in giving you're happy. Thought you just grab. The entire social paradigm in the world today is you grab, you have, you take, you have, you earn, you keep, you save, and then you'll be happy. And here is the Bhagavat. Here are role models like Maharaj Ambarish, giving away 600 million cows. Their horns plated with gold. Their hooves coated with silver. What do they get? What do they get? Blessings. And you can't buy them, ladies and gentlemen. You can go and buy a designer suit throwing pounds. You can buy a nice car and a gadget throwing pounds. Unfortunately for us, let us just handle the fact that you just cannot buy blessings. Wish there was a shopping mall and a shop where you can go and say, 2 kilos blessings, please. Wish we had them, you know. Just don't get them. The beauty of service, the beauty of giving, the beauty of sharing is, Bhagwan tera bhala kare bhai. May God bless you, child. That one smile brought to someone can walk, that one smile brought to someone can help us walk that extra mile towards Godhead, you know. Therefore, Ambarish had the culture of devotional worship, but he wasn't simply temple. He had the culture of responsible action because he felt the presence of Krishna everywhere. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashyati. Not just that, he had the culture of compassionate charity, giving to people, sharing with people, and that sharing, when you, you know, when you get a gift, when you, how many of you got a gift? Isn't it? And how many of you have been excited to pull the wrapper up and see what is inside? And just waiting, sab jao, phir main khol ke dekhta hun. What is inside? Excited, isn't it, to see what's inside? When we get a gift, we get a thing. But when we give a gift, we get a blessing. When we get a gift, all we get is a thing. But when we give a gift, we've lost the thing, but received blessing. And there's nothing in the world more valuable than blessings of saintly people. There's nothing in the world more valuable than good wishes that can enhance our HQ, our happiness quotient. You know, this is why giving, sharing, charity is so crucial and important. Yes, Ambarish had this culture of giving. And what to speak of giving to an atithi? He was giving to all the brahmanas, and what to speak of giving to an atithi? A guest. And sure enough, as he had given away, after he had worshipped Krishna with beautiful outfits, abhishekam, flower garlands, auspicious, expensive, ornate jewelry and ornaments, after he had given away prasadam to the brahmanas, after he had given away 600 million cows in charity, now he sat down to break his fast. Everything had been done. God had lived amazingly by following these three principles of culture. And now here he was sitting there to break his fast. He'd not taken anything. How many of you fasted on Nirjal Ekadashi? Completely without water. And after the Nirjal Ekadashi, no water for like 28, 30, 32 hours. Everyone wants to do Tulsi Puja and Aarti because they get to do Achman. You know, there's 2 drops of water. Oh, I must take some water as well now. I felt thirsty suddenly talking about water. And you know something? The favorite prayer on Nirjal Ekadashi is Yani Kani Cha Papani, Yani Kani Cha Papani, Pani, 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 Pani. And imagine in the bathroom, in the shower. Oh, no, Nirjal Ekadashi today. And imagine on the day of Nirjal Ekadashi when you're fasted. I know, I fasted for 5 years, Nirjal, every Ekadashi. You know, after everything's over, and I come from a Jain family. My sister fasts for 21 days without food and water. Now she doesn't. And in the morning, only half a spoon of warm water. That's about it. 21 days she used to fast. And in the Hare Krishna movement, one day, and then you say, Prabhuji, at 10 o'clock in the night, Prabhuji, I can't do more. Can I get some potato crisp, please? I'll tell you.
that Nirjal Ekadashi becomes such a big thing. Can you imagine Ambarish now sitting for honoring Prasadam after all this thing is over? And imagine you sitting there and suddenly an Atithi arrives and says, Prabhu, I'm an Atithi, right? As you're just about to take the first morsel, stop! And you hold it there. Who had this guts to say, stop, as Ambarish was about to break his fast without announcing the tithi or the time or the date he would come? He came without any date or former announcement, therefore a tithi, unannounced guest. God, he came there. Incredible personality. His name? Durvas. And what does his name mean? In the Vedic culture, you had names based on your personality. Nowadays, names and personality has nothing to do with each other. I met a gentleman the other day. I was in a corporate event in Hyderabad. And then in the corporate event, one guy came and introduced himself. My name is Pius Matthew. And his friend said, it's an oxymoron. Pius and Matthew. Goodness, nowadays you say, his name is Prashant. Peaceful. He's the most agitated guy. I saw one beggar sitting on the street. I asked, what's your name? He said, Lakshmipati. Can you believe this? He's a beggar. His name is Lakshmipati. Names and characters have nothing to do with each other these days. And in initiation, you can imagine, I was telling the other day at some home, all kinds of funny names sometimes devotees get. One of our devotees in Mumbai, he used to serve as drivers in our temple, two guys. So their spiritual master gave them the name. One of them, they gave him the name, once the drivers, they gave him the name Garudadas. Because a driver, right? So Garudadas. And the second fellow, he used to live in a small kind of a locality where everyone was asking, you know, Are kidhar ja raha hai, kidhar ja raha hai, where are you going, where are you going? He said, nahi, nahi, aaj mera diksha hai, my initiation. So all his neighbors didn't know what is diksha. Say, what is diksha about? He said, nahi, nahi, aaj naya naam milega. I'll get new name today. So he said, oh wow, everyone was eagerly waiting. What name is this guy going to get? So his fellow came and his guru gave him the name Garudadas to one driver, and the other driver, the guru gave him the name Darukadas. Now, Daruka is the charioteer of Krishna. So he came back, and then all the neighboring people were asking, kya re, kya naam mila wala Daruka Das? Oh my God! And he said, ye kya naam hai Daruka Das? Now in Hindi, Daru means alcohol. Daruka Das means servant to alcohol. My God, can you imagine that? And I, right here in London, I was standing here after a morning class, and one devotee came to me and said, Prabhuji, I want to invite you home for prasadam. I said, yeah, please, definitely. I said, where do you live? He said, South Hall. That's very far, right? I said, yeah, but Prabhuji, I'll really, really feel very happy if you come, please. I said, okay, no problem, I'll come. I said, what's your name, Prabhuji? He said, Mahaprasad Das. I said, man, Mahaprasad Prabhu is inviting for prasad. I have to go. But we never met again. So if you're hearing Mahaprasad Prabhu, I'm still counting on that invitation to go to South Hall. And I know the prasad in Mahaprasad Prabhu's house will be absolutely stunning. Sometimes someone's name is Mahaprasad Das. Poor fellow, he cooks. Oh gosh. Krishna has a tough time to identify. What's this prep? Radharani thinks, what is this new concoction, you know? My goodness. You can imagine Srimati Radharani is in ISKCON. ISKCON has confused Krishna. ISKCON is the only one spiritual organization that's confused Krishna. Because every place, they pray in so many different languages. And Krishna is thinking, I thought I only knew Braj Bhasha, Sanskrit. Now they say, grazie mille, Krishna. Grazie mille. And someone saying, spasibo bolshoi, Russian. Labhyachu, Lithuanian. Rumbanandri, Tamil.
Everyone's praying in different languages, and Krishna says, I guess I have to go and attend some crash courses of these languages, you know. Thank God Krishna is the omniscient Lord who knows the feelings of everyone's heart. And ISKCON has even confused Srimati Radharani. Because she has never repeated a single item in her cooking to Krishna. Not a single one. Ever. Ladies, listen to this. Srimati Radharani has never repeated one item for Krishna ever again. And we all think, how is that possible? But ISKCON confused Srimati Radharani because she never made pizza for Krishna. And she's thinking, my God, I have to go and learn from this Hare Krishna devotees. Because my Gokulananda loves pizza, you know. Especially when there's artichoke hearts on it, he eats the whole thing away. You know, I have to learn from this. Therefore, one name of Srimati Radharani is Vidyarthini. One name of Srimati Radharani is Vidyarthini. A perpetual student who always wants to learn newer and newer things from everyone in a service to Sri Krishna. But when it comes to all these names, God, where is the correlation many times? Except for the Supreme Lord and the great devotees. This man, Durvas. Shh. You know why he got that name, Durvas? Vas means clothes. Many things, but Vas means clothes. Have you heard the name Duryodhan? Yodhan means fighting. His name was earlier Suyodhan. He was fighting, meant to be fighting for a good cause. Duryodhan means expert in fighting, but for a dur, bad cause. So dur means bad, dirty, nasty. Vas means clothes, one who wears dirty clothes. Durvas means one who wears dirty clothes. But that's not the right thing. You know why? Because Durvasa doesn't wear any clothes. He doesn't have any clothes. The scriptures describe he's only dressed in the eight directions, which means nothing. No clothes. Naga Baba. You know? But then, he is just such a passionate person in terms of anger. If someone goes and call him, technically you should call him Nirvas. Without any clothes. So you go and say, hey Nirvas, Nirvas. God is an angry man. Get wild at you and curse you. Durvasa is known to be a atithi, a guest who is a tough gentleman to handle. A little thing here and there, he doesn't explain. He doesn't communicate. He doesn't talk to you. He just say, main tujhe shraap deta hoon. Saap ban ja. Curses straight away, you know. Can you imagine this? So just to avoid his curse, they would call him Durvas, not Nirvas. To call Nirvas means to say you are naked. So Durvas means dirty clothes. Durvasa Muni, he arrived there just on time as Ambarish Maharaj was about to break his vrata. The fourth aspect of Ambarish's culture, you remember the first one? Devotional worship of his deity in the temple. Remember the second one? Perceiving Krishna's presence everywhere and therefore responsible action in life. Remember the third aspect of his culture? Compassionate charity, giving, sharing with others. But the fourth aspect of his culture was sensitive hospitality to his guests. Atithi Devo Bhava. The Bhagavad describes the hospitality that he offers to Durvas as he comes, makes him sit down, sits near his feet, washes his feet, respects him. That is the dharma of every grihastha. That is the dharma of every saint. That is the dharma of every temple. That is the dharma of every organization. To treat guests, atithis, with great sensitivity, hospitality, kindness, respect, that is Atithi Devo Bhava, Grahastha Dharma. You know, therefore Srila Prabhupada writes in a purport, in a commentary, he says, if a guest comes to your home in the Vedic age, you'd offer him food to eat. And what if you didn't have food? You're poor, you didn't have food. Okay, you'll offer him a cup of water to drink. Oh, you don't have water. No problem, offer him a straw mat to sit. Oh, you don't have a straw mat? No problem, clean the place and make give that place to sit. Oh, you can't even make him, you don't even have a place for him to sit on the floor or the ground. Prabhupada said, then welcome him with sweet words. Kind, sweet words. And Prabhupada writes in that purport and apologize. Sir, I'm very sorry. I actually want to offer you, but I don't have anything. Please accept these words as my offering unto you. Please accept these words as my hospitality and kindness unto you. You know, it's quite amazing, isn't it? You know, I went to one home once. I was staying in a home. Got such meticulous service. I'm yet to find a family like that. I won't tell which that family was. Incredible service. Incredible service. I mean, from the point I entered into that room, their son was with me to give an orientation. Prabhuji, this is the bed. These are the controls. If you turn this, the heating turns on. If you turn this, the air conditioning turns on. Everything was labeled there, you know. Just in case you feel hungry, Prabhu, in the night, in this drawer is nature valleys, granola bars. And Prabhu, if you find this, there was a toothpaste in the bathroom, there was everything. They had seen my sharp tilak. They had guessed I probably don't use my finger. They'd kept two toothpicks just in case I needed to put a tilak on or something. They had kept tilak boxes there. They had kept five fresh towels there. They had kept a set of saffron dhoti kurta in case I missed getting it with me. They had kept a weighing scale. To just before you go, if you get some weight, check, Prabhu. And guess what? Guess what? They kept a comb for me. And I'm wondering. I said, maybe for my shikha actually. Why is the comb? But so much attention to detail. Attention to detail is the sign of love. Just doing things in a gross way, that's very crude. Attention to fine details is the sign of love. Every detail. You know, when I left, my heart was only saying, Krishna, bless them profusely, Krishna. Bless them. Look at how much they've gone that extra mile to make sure that I'm so comfortable. How many of you felt like that? When you just felt comfortable, your heart just opens up and just pours. Whatever I have is yours. You know? That's Atithi Seva. Atithi Devo Bhava. Therefore, our scriptures tell us how we should receive a guest in a beautiful verse. Chakshur dadyat, manah dadyat, vacham dadyat, sasunritam, anuvrajed upasit sah, yagyah, pancha, dakshina. When a guest comes, it's called atithi yagya. We have so many yagyas. Nam yagya, diksha yagya, vivaha yagya. It's called atithi yagya. And this atithi yagya, one is meant to offer five kinds of dakshina to the guest. Not pounds. Pounds are additional. Because pounds don't matter in front of love. If you don't get the pounds, who cares? You need the love. And you need the kindness. Therefore, it says, Chakshur dadyat. First, Chakshur dadyat. Give him pleasing, welcoming glances. Chakshuhu dadyat. Eyes. Look at him very pleasingly to welcome him. Otherwise, sometimes guest comes. Aa gaya. You know what I mean? Immediately, just to the glances you make, completely feel unwelcomed, you know, there. Goodness. Chakshuhu dadyat. Second, manaha dadyat. Give your mind. How? By wishing well for that person. To be a well-wisher for the guest is to give the mind. To with your eyes being pleasing and welcoming is to give your eyes. To be a well-wisher to the guest in the heart is to give our mind. Chakshuhu dadyat, manah dadyat, vacham dadyat, sasundritam vacham. Sweet, welcoming words. Welcome Please come. We're so happy to have you here. It's indeed our greatest fortune. You read the verses in the Bhagavatam when Vasudeva welcomes Gargamuni, Nanda Maharaj welcomes Gargamuni, and all these different episodes. So grateful. We are blessed to have you here. Thank you for coming. How long are you staying, by the way? Vacham dadyat sa sunritam. Sweet words. The fourth, upasicha. Till the time is there, sit with him. Talk to him. What can I do for you, sir? How can we serve you better? And upavrajet, when he's going, go behind him few minutes, saying, aujo, ha, aujo. You know, being kind. Yagya pancha dakshina. I'll tell you, the manor and the congregation of the manor, when it comes to hospitality, well, who can beat the devotees here? As Srila Prabhupada wanted, prasadam is for everyone, morning, afternoon, evening, whoever comes. And Thursday morning, many people come because for breakfast there's cheese on toast. And oh my God, I'll tell you, all the time so much hospitality extended. I see devotees come, new people come for the morning program. The gentleman who's doing the backup service there in the back, he'll bring a Mangalarti sweet made by Kulangana Mataji or some other devotees, and give that Mangalarti sweet and make the guest feel, hey, they're such nice people. People who come into our temples are the guests of Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda. And how we treat them is the impression they will have about Radha Gokulananda. Every guest walking into this temple is just representing their lordships. Atithi is coming to give us that opportunity to serve them. And how they feel. How do we make them feel? Welcome? Or, hey. You know, we'll decide whether they would really commit themselves to the process of Krishna consciousness or not. In the Vedic culture, it's not things that matter. We live in a world today where things matter so much. You know, everything's about things. Everything has to be grossly expressed. You tell, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. 20 times you have to tell to make the other person feel I love you. In our Vedic culture, you don't have to. There's such a deep bonding. It's called non-verbal communication. You feel that love, you know. It's all about things now. In a society where everything revolves around things, feelings are just rejected like anything. You get a nice gift, a rose. Oh, you brought only a rose for my birthday. So what did you want? I wanted an Apple Watch. He got me an apple to eat, you know. What did he do? He's getting me an apple. I wanted an Apple Watch. He's getting me an apple to eat, you know. Things didn't count. It was the feelings. I remember I'd gone to a house to eat. They called me for lunch. Believe me, hand on my heart. The house was about this big. Just about this much in India. You had to cross a sewer this thick. Dirty things going in there to go to that house. 5 people lived in that house. But the son had been inviting me for so long. So I took one of the brahmacharis along with me. God, just seeing that thick sewer. I'd never been to a place like that. I crossed that sewer and entered into the house. Such a tiny little place. They offered me a little seat to sit on. They didn't have any furniture. This house just this big. 5 people living in that house. They just offered a little mat, whatever they had, for me to sit on. I sat down there. And you know, I'll never forget it in my life. Never. This Adho Brahmachari had also come with me. In their house, they had small Radha Krishna deities, just in a little corner. I'm sitting there. The lady of the house, the guy's mother, she made the offering. She had made dal dhokli, Gujarati family. And she offered this dal dhokli. And I heard her whisper a prayer. The deities were called Radha Shamsundar. She was offering a prayer. And believe me, not many people can make me emotional easily. That day I was very emotional actually. You know what she said? She said, Radha Shamsundar, after many years of our prayers and wanting to have Prabhuji at home, he has come today. I know I am not so good at cooking or anything, but oh Radha Shamsundar, please, please make this prasad delicious Not because I want to be known as a good cook. I want to please my guest. Please Radha Shyam Sundar. And guess what? The prasad was nice. They served dal dhokli. Believe me, it was very sloppy. I haven't eaten something as sloppy as that in the last 21 years. After I joined the temple in Chopati, I had never eaten something as sloppy and lousy as that. This dhokli is in there. For like, you know those half kacha ones, you know, not cooked rightly. And the other brahmachari is sitting with me. And there's no salt in it. Half cooked. And this other brahmachari is very expressive. He's sitting next to me, and as soon as they went inside after serve, not inside, just right there, very inside, one room, you know. And this brahmachari is looking at me and saying, I said, eat. So he ate. Then the lady came and said, can I serve you more? I took seconds. I took thirds. I took fourth. I'm not lying. Because the love that was there, I don't find it in many big homes that I go to. So superficial and artificial, all this facade that people put up. You know? Such incredible hospitality, love, and kindness. It touched the deepest chords of my heart that I'm speaking about that little family here at the Bhaktivedanta Manor in London. They would have never made their way to this country being so poor. But look at where they have made their way in the hearts of so many people, because I'm sharing the story wherever I go. You may be in the best possible situation, home, and if people are grudging there, would you like to be there? And you may be in the least of all facilities, and if people really lovingly welcome you there, how do you feel? Hey, I want to be here. This was Ambarish. Sensitive hospitality. Atithi Devo Bhava. Sharing such kindness, sharing such incredible love. Amazing. Durvasa was happy. That man who's known to just snap off like this, was okay. And then Ambarish Maharaj said to Durvasa, hey, please, Munivar, please, my dear sage, why don't you sit and now have your meal? Please eat. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki, Jai. Sir, please, my dear sage, now you please sit down and have your meal. Because until you have your meal, I can't eat. You please eat. First you. You first. And Durvasa said, well, that's fine. Bah. You know what? Oh my God. He said, you know what? I have to go and chant my afternoon Gayatri in the river Yamuna, which is close by. So just give me a while. I'll be back in a moment. How many of you realize that when you call British Airways or some government office? We're sorry, gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, our lines are busy at the moment. Our agents will be back to you very soon. Hold on. Sorry, gentlemen. Our lines are busy at the moment. All our agents are busy at the moment. We'll get back to you very soon. Yes, very soon, very soon, very soon, very soon. This man went into the river Jamuna, and that day he was so absorbed in his Gayatri. So absolutely absorbed in his Gayatri that here Ambarish was waiting to break his fast. Break his vrata. He waited. And guess what? It was 24 minutes. The Bhagavat explains, it was 24 minutes left for the time to engage in Paran. How many of you heard that word Paran timing on Ekadashi, Dwadashi? Paran. Because fast breaking is not the right word. We use it in, conventionally, we use it to say it because, you know, we speak English. So we, but that's, you know why it's not the, English is funny actually, isn't it? English is a funny language, isn't it? Because what's the plural of box? Boxes. And what's the plural of ox? Why?
If boxes, boxes, ox should be oxes. What's the plural of mouse? And what's the plural of house? Heise? No. What's the plural of man? And what's the plural of pan? If man is men, pan should be? What's the plural of foot? Feet. And what's the plural of boot? Beat. What's the plural of tooth? And what's the plural of booth? Beat. Sorry. It's quite a language there, you know. It can't completely explain these terms like paran. You know these terms? How many of you know some old English from Britain? Old English from Britain. Breakfast was called morgenmeat. Or undernmeat. And you know what it means? For your information, for your kind information. Undernmeat and morgenmeat was the name, the word used for breakfast. Morgen, morning. In German, even today they say Guten Morgen. Morning. And meat is meal, the morning meal, morgenmeat. And what's undernmeat? Undern is the 9 o'clock meal in the morning, 9 a.m. meal in the morning, which is breakfast. Breakfast came much later. And why that word? Undernmeat or morgenmeat? Because in the night you haven't eaten. For so many hours you haven't eaten, so you have to break your fast. In order to break your fast, you eat at 9 a.m. For from undernmeat and morgenmeat it came to be known as breakfast. But you don't break your vows. Vrat ko toda nahi jata. Vrat ko pura kiya jata hai. We don't break our fast. We complete our vrata. We don't break our vrata. Say, what did you do? I broke my vow. No, I completed my vow. That is why that word paran, which is to finish the vrata, complete the vrata as an offering of pleasure unto the Lord. And guess what? 24 minutes left. He has to break it in that time, complete it in that time. He waited and waited. And the Bhagavad calls it, in the particular verse, Dharma Sankat. He was now in a dilemma, a dharma sankat. What should I do? If I eat, it's disrespectful to my guest. If I wait, my vrata is finished. I won't be able to complete my vrata. Decision making, ethical dilemmas, dilemmas between right and right. Which one to do? Draupadi's 5 children were killed by Ashwatthama. Arjun brought that guy, dragging that killer of those 5 children, held him by his hair and pulled him to Draupadi's feet and said, what should we do with this guy? Draupadi said, forgive him. I've lost my children. I don't want his mother to lose him. Yudhishthir and the other Pandavas on his side. Arjun waiting, what to do? Draupadi, Yudhishthir, Nakul, Sahadev on one side. Arjun in the center, what should I do? And the other side, Bhim said, kill him! Kill him! How can you spare this guy, you know? He's a killer of little children. If you spare him on the social body at large, people are going to think it's okay to kill, it's okay to molest, it's okay to do any damn thing. And be released. Bring justice, Arjun. Kill that killer. Kill that murderer. And Draupadi was saying, no. Forgive him. What does that poor Arjun do? Standing there in between. On one side his wife, Draupadi, saying forgive. On the other side his brother Bhima is saying kill. Caught in a dilemma. If I forgive, Bhima's angry. If I kill, Draupadi is angry. What do I do? And Krishna, he turned to Krishna. Krishna said, you promised Draupadi you will kill him, so you have to kill. But then Draupadi is saying forgive, so you should forgive. But then Bhima is saying kill, and he's correct, so you kill. Arjun said, Prabhu, what are you doing? Tell me, surely what to do. This is when Prabhupada writes, Arjun turned to Krishna in his heart. Anyone who is genuine and sincere, Krishna is there to help.
तेषां सततयुक्तानां भजतां प्रीतिपूर्वकं ददामि बुद्धियोगं तं येन माम् उपयन्ति ते. फर्स्ट ही कंसल्टेड, अंबरीश कंसल्टेड द ब्राह्मणस, बट दे वर स्पीचलेस, दे डिडंट नो व्हाट टू डू. दैट इज व्हेन ही रिमेंबर्ड फ्रॉम हिज हार्ट द श्रुति स्क्रिप्चर्स सेइंग ऑन अ द्वादशी टू ब्रेक योर फास्ट. इफ यू टेक वॉटर, it's like eating and breaking your fast, but it's also like not eating and breaking your fast. It's like the thin line, there's nothing certain. You take water, it's like breaking the fast as well and not breaking the fast as well. So I will take water and break the fast, but still not having eaten. So I'm waiting for Durvasa. And Ambarish drank the water to do paran, to complete his ekadashi vrata. And that man, Durvas, had just finished his Gayatri Mantra chanting. He came out of the waters of the river Yamuna, and a mystic as he was, right there in his mind he understood that Ambarish has taken water before he has served me anything to eat. He was furious. In a fit of rage, he came to where Ambarish was waiting for him. And what did he do in that fit of rage? If you want to know the answer to that question, we would request all of you to tune in tomorrow again at 7:30, right here at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, to conclude our discussion on Ambarish, which is the third C. Commitment of Ambarish. And therefore we heard today the culture of Ambarish, in which we heard several things, 5 points. Firstly, devotional worship in the temple was Ambarish's culture. His second part of his culture was responsible action, because he saw Krishna everywhere. His third part of his culture was compassionate charity, where he didn't just have for himself but he shared. The fourth part of his culture was sensitive hospitality, of how he treated his guests as atithi devo bhava. And the fifth part of his culture was thoughtful contemplation of how to solve this dilemma. He consulted the brahmanas, thoughtful contemplation didn't work. He turned to the Lord in his heart, and from his heart he remembered the Shruti mantra. Thoughtful contemplation, Ambarish's culture, devotional worship, responsible action, compassionate charity, sensitive hospitality, and thoughtful contemplation. This is the culture that Ambarish followed. And tomorrow we will hear the conclusion of this session, where we will hear the commitment of Ambarish Maharaj in his life to the process of devotion service. Tish, thank all of you very much for your kind attention. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari.